is also in Christ Jesus. Do we really understand all Christ was? He's Savior, He's Lord, He's the party of the Godhead, the Son, all power. He is the Lion and the Lamb. But He's also the servant of the Father. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man also, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Even the death of the cross. Do we have that mindset of Christ? Do you realize that you are a servant? Yes, you walk in all His power and all His authority as in the name of Jesus. Yes, your sins are forgiven. You've been washed, as we Pentecostals will say, in the blood. And you're made white as snow. But do you realize that you are also just a servant? You know, when you look up the definition of servant, it gives you a word that is so distinct and brings a bitter taste in even my mouth. It's slave. It's slave. That means you willingly have given yourself over and doing, forsaking your life for another. Bond servant. It was another word. Bond servant. Did you ever look at Jesus as the servant? But He was. He humbled Himself and was obedient, even unto death on the cross. Are you a servant? Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And He gave His life a ransom for many." We saw the Lion. We saw the Lamb when He came this time. The gentle, the meek. The one that hung out with people of religious day would not hang out with. Those that needed a physician, as He would say. I didn't come for those that are well. I came for those that needed a physician. The ones that were broken. The ones that were sick. The ones that no one else cared about. But I care about them because my Father cares about them. And we together have a plan to make it right. Did you know that you came to serve? Christ is our example. But He showed you your call. Have you ever wondered about your call in life? As a Christian? As a disciple of Christ? Dare I say, as a servant of Christ? A servant of Christ. Some stories call Him the King of Servants, and that He is from His example. Mark 10:42-44. Let's read that real quick. But Jesus called them to Him and said unto them, "You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." That's the rest of that story. His example is our call. Servant. He was servant first. He was servant first and foremost. That was His whole being up here, to save and to justify us so that He could present us to the Father. Do you see the sacrifice in that? So that He could present us to the Father. He made a way. No man come to Him except through Me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you look at the ancients of old, they all talked about themselves as servants. Paul, Paul even called himself a slave of Jesus Christ in Romans. Jude was the brother of Jesus, but yet he called himself a servant of Jesus. A servant. John 5:19 talks about doing what the Father doeth. Now, this is Jesus talking about his life. He said, "Then answered Jesus and said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." It means he didn't operate unless he saw the Father operating. He gave permission. He led and guided him to what he needed to do. He goes even further in John 12 and talks about what he speaks. He said, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father's who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." And that's John 12:49-50. A bond slave, a bond servant, a slave. Jesus is setting it forth. He's setting the example for you and I. A servant I am. A servant I am. Do you see your life? Do you see yourself in your life? Or is it serving God? Bringing glory to Him. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Who are you serving? It don't take long to figure out who someone served. Sometimes you just have to watch them. They don't even have to talk. You can watch that body language. You can see that the way they dress and behave. John 12:26 says, "Anyone serves me, he must follow me." This is Jesus talking to his disciples. "And where I am, there will my servant be also." He's talking to his disciples. You are called to be servants. My servants. "But also, if anyone receives me, the Father will honor him." We are called to be servants. Servants. What is a servant? It's a caretaker of God's kingdom. It ain't about you anymore. It's about the kingdom. It's about showing them, talking to them, living, being the light, being the salt, as we talked about last week, being all those things to bring others to Him. Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:1 said, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God." That's what a steward is. Someone who is a caretaker of God, in this case, God's mysteries, His kingdom. Because, you know, God's kingdom is totally different than what we know here on this earth. Titus 1:1, Paul says, Paul is servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy, we'll go there and read that. This is how a servant of the Lord should behave or look. So 2 Timothy 2:14-17. And read the whole chapter. It's got great things. It says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but the servility of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God." That means you're supposed to be in that word, servant. How are you going to do the will of the Father if you don't even know His words? How can you speak like Him? How can you talk like Him? How can you behave like Him? Jesus was the example of my calling and yours. He says, "Right, but shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." And then if you skip down to 22, he says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And then the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves." if God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Slave, you have a great mission. You are called to take others to Christ. Let them see that. Serve God by doing his will and living accordingly, so that you can help get those captives away that are caught up in the snare of the enemy. Is it hard? Yes. Do I lose sleep? Yes. Do I lose time with my family? Yes. Does my husband and I have to take time away from each other? Yes. Do I fast or pray? Yes, yes, yes. Do I read my Bible? Yes. I can tell when I'm not connected, because I can, my old self starts rearing her ugly head, and I realize that I've gotten away from my source. It's all those things. It's daily dying to the flesh, daily taking in God, the Word, Jesus, talking to him, having a relationship with him, being a servant. That's what I'm called to do. He was my example of my calling. Did Jesus do this all for naught? No. He did it to help us be the sons and daughters of Christ. But let's read a little further. Let's go to Philippians, back to Philippians 2. So if I know that he has reward, then I too will also have reward. Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. What does that mean? That means in the name of Jesus, submission happens. The enemy has to submit. He has no authority or power over that name. That at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ephesians 1. My time is drawing near, but I'm trying to give you these glorious things that are our inheritance as well. Ephesians 1, 20 and 22. Which he wrought in Christ when he rose him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body and the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He is fully Godhead. He is everything. He's the head of everything. He has authority over everything and the head of the church. Colossians 2, and this blesses me every time I read this, every time I read this, every time I feel like I am not enough, every time the enemy tells me that I cannot, I remember who I am. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. I am complete in Jesus. That's talking about Jesus. I'm complete. I lack nothing, save I give my power over to the enemy. I am complete. He is the head of all principalities and powers. What's principalities? Principalities is a territory that has being ruled by a prince. You know, we have a prince of this world. But Jesus has overcome him as well. John 12 and 31, we go back there and I'll read that to you real quickly. John 12 and 31. Jesus answered and said, "The voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." I be lifted up. you know, that works in the cross, but it also works every day. Are you lifting Christ up, servant? 1 Peter 2 and 9 and 10 is one that we talk about a lot. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, peculiar people. You are being the people of God. You obtain mercy who had no mercy. We are His reward. Jesus did all so He could present us to the Father. Do you see the selflessness in that act? Do you see the selflessness and the beating, the humiliation, the cruelty of the cross? Those that He had healed and cast out demons, raised from the dead, were they in the crowd crying, "Give me Barabbas"? Did you ever think about that? The very ones that He had helped may have been the ones that were standing there screaming for the murderer and put to death the one that had healed me. I don't know that. I just know it was unanimous. There were many that showed up that day. But He rose again so that I could be whole and complete. Some people say when you read Mark 10, I think it is, and He talks about Him being the servant, the Lord of all servants. I don't have time to read it all, but I think it's Mark 10. And how we read most of it, it said that, you know, if you are my servant, you'll be with me. But you are called to be the servant. Not just to be seen, not just to earn money, not just to look fine, talk fine, hang out with the best people. You are called to serve. His example is my calling. The servant I am. Are you? The servant.